Hey Health Junkies, Dr. Krause here. Just wanted to jump in and let you know about a new feature that I'm adding to the podcast. It's the ability to ask me questions. I've had a ton of folks tell me that they would love for me to cover their questions on the podcast, so I'm going to do it. So each week I will be adding a couple of questions that I'm going to answer to each of the podcasts. And if it's a juicy enough question, I just may dedicate a whole podcast to it. So if you're interested in asking a question, head on over to my website at drjkrausend.com. Check out a blue button on the right-hand side that says Ask a Podcast Question. Hit me up there. Or you can also access the button through my podcast notes also on my website. So head on over there, ask me some questions. I look forward to answering them soon. All right, let's get on with the podcast.
Hey, health junkies. It's time for The Health Fix. Join your host, Dr. Jeanine Krause, as she gives you a dose of what you need to know and do right now to take control of your health from the inside out, to rebel against aging, look damn good, fight stress, and laugh every day.
Hello there, health junkies. Welcome to another episode of The Health Fix. I'm your host, Dr. Jeanine Krause. Today's episode is a continuation of my discussion of your tissue, something known as fascial tissue. And today's one is all about how your sugar addiction is killing your skin. And I was talking in my previous podcast all about how this one's going to be about your look, how your fascial tissue and your skin can change as you age based on what you eat, and how it can become more brittle and it can become less mobile as it becomes more and more sick. So unfortunately, if your skin is not moving right, and you have some cellulite, you have decreased mobility, you have pain, perhaps you have tendonitis. What I call that is sick skin. And we've got to figure out what to do about that, because all of those different components have to do with diet, movement, yes, some genetics, and of course, age. And of course, we all want to age well. We want to be able to be mobile. We want to be independent until however long we live. So the idea of today's podcast is me just really kind of hammering it home, the connection between tissue not moving and diet. Now, a big question that comes up in my office all the time from patients is why does my knee not move like it used to? Why does my shoulder not move like it used to? And why am I telling them that it feels restricted and brittle? Now, usually in this case, it's because someone has either A, injured themselves because of an overuse type of injury, B, this individual is a sedentary person and the tissue's just not moving, or it could also be C, the combination of maybe they are active or maybe they're not active, but they also don't have the best diet in the universe. Now, what I can tell pretty soon in touching someone's skin and moving their tissue around just to assess a joint or a muscle tissue injury is I can tell how toxic the skin is. Now, what that means is I can tell if there are some proteins that have linked to their collagen proteins. That sounds terrible. If there's been sugar that's linked to the collagen proteins that have made them more brittle. And so I can tell if someone's lost elasticity of their tissue quite easily. Now, there's some naysayers out there on the internet that talk all about how fascial tissue adhesions don't exist and things of that nature. And I'd like to pose to them, well, if that doesn't exist, why then do we have a lot of data about restriction of motion and decline of overall mobility related to the consumption of too much sugars? And really, we have a lot of data showing that the more we consume too many sugary or high glycemic foods, these foods are going to react with proteins and fats in a not so great way and produce something called advanced glycation end products. It's called AGEs for short, and so I'm going to use that terminology But the other term is glycation. And glycation is a big deal in the anti-aging industry because we talk all about it in terms of wrinkles, fine lines in our skin of our face. But for some reason, I don't know why we don't transfer what's happening in our face to the rest of our body, because our face isn't independent in some weird island and being, you know, completely unique tissue. It has unique adaptations for being where it is, but it's no different than the skin that's over your knee or the skin that's over your shoulder. And so if you're starting to notice fine lines and wrinkles developing on your face, it's possible that the same process is happening around your joints. The only difference that happens with our face is that our face, yes, it's exposed to sunlight more often, and so it can be prone to a little bit more of a decline and faster. But if you're out and about outside and you do have the rest of your body exposed to sunlight, that can be, you know, same kind of fast aging. I guess the big point I'm trying to make here is that the skin on your face is no different than the rest of your skin. And so if you started to notice some aging signs on your face, it's happening in your body. There's no way to talk around that. It is totally happening. So where did we get all this research to figure out that our tissue becomes brittle over time, the more inflamed it is? Well, thanks to all those diabetics out there who donated their bodies to science, we figured out that the higher the blood sugar is on a sustained level for longer periods of time, the more damage to the tissues. And so when I use the word tissues, we often think of just skin, but really in the science world, blood is a tissue. Your arteries are tissues, and in particular, those arteries get hardened with time. And diabetics are very prone to having hardening of the arteries, but some of us other folks are too, and that can increase your blood pressure chronically, which can cause cardiovascular issues, which nobody wants that. So thinking about this as a whole body issue is what I'm wanting you to think about, because really our tissue issues extend beyond our joints. They extend beyond our face. They extend beyond our muscles, because muscle obviously is tissue, so is tendon and ligament. And this is a big deal because even our cartilage in our joints, what keeps them having that little good impact, that sponge that allows us to bounce and have more of that fluid mobility in our joints, all of our synovial joints, for example, because our articular cartilages in there are going to help us with mobility, the more that our collagen becomes brittle, the less mobility we have, the more restrictions we're going to have. And that is why, if we go back to my uncle's knee that I was talking about in my previous podcast to this one, his knee is enlarged, it doesn't move well, it's because his tissue is sick. He loves his cookies, he won't give them up. He's not diabetic, shocking, but I can't help but think that he keeps his blood sugar elevated at a high end of normal for long periods of time just based on his diet. And that's a lot of us folks. If you are eating sugary cereals, if you are eating even granola, to a point, we all have our carbohydrate allowance, as I stated. And I've been playing with the amount that I can intake for years because I love chips. I love corn chips and salsa. One of my biggest weaknesses, and guac, that's like anything Mexican food I love. But I found that it messes with my blood sugar. And I've also found that, yes, you know, the obvious things like chocolates and things of that nature, sure, they're going to mess with my sugar, but so do excessive amounts of fruit, which sounds crazy, but it's something to keep in mind, because this juicing phase that a lot of people get into, they're like, I feel so great, I feel so wonderful. Yes, but you got to put a ton more veggies in those juices than fruit to get the full effect, because even fruit and fructose in high amounts can be negative and cause trouble. So what I usually tell folks is keep it within 2 servings of fruits a day and that appears to not cause as much trouble. However, if you're eating two servings of fruit on top of a whole bunch of tortilla chips and chocolate, it's not a good idea. So my guidelines, if you're looking for a basic guideline to kind of keep yourself in check, is really around 100 grams a day of carbohydrates or less, especially if you are someone who is not active on a daily basis. If you are performing any sports, if you're doing any sports or you're doing a higher level of workouts, and by that I mean doing something CrossFit-wise, doing something boot camp, interval, Tabata style, hit something that's a little bit more higher intensity, you might need to flex a little bit higher on your carbohydrate count. But one of the ways that I have folks look at this is really you can gauge by one, you could get a glucometer and test your blood sugar 1 and 2 hours after certain meals or snacks and see what happens with your blood sugar throughout the day. Then do it in the morning when you wake up and do it 2 hours before bed and just do it for fun. You can get glucose strips and you can get glucometers online. Now, of course, if you do go to the doc and you have your doc check your blood sugar fasting and your hemoglobin A1C, which is a measurement of your blood sugar over 3 months, so kind of like a, and this isn't that they're going to test your blood sugar over those 3 months, you just get a test one time, but it gives an example or a sample, that's probably a better word, of what's happening with your blood sugar in that time frame. So hemoglobin A1C and a fasting blood sugar will give you a little sense of what's going on. Now, if you're really wanting to get fancy, you could test insulin levels and things of that nature, but keep in mind that those are not typically covered by conventional insurance, and I don't want you to end up with a big fat bill there. But yes, growth fat, you can test growth factor and you could test insulin, but at this point, I typically have folks looking at their hemoglobin A1C and their blood sugars, because if you're really wondering how does sugar affect you, it's important to get a little data on it. I've done it myself. I was shocked what happened. I am very sensitive, and right now I've been playing with what's a good amount of carbohydrates to balance my workouts, because I do CrossFit 5 days a week. And then on the weekends, I'm walking or hiking or doing something physically active, but not at the intensity of CrossFit. And I will admit that I've struggled a little bit to find out how much carbs I need. And so it's one of those things that I think that everyone has an individual amount. And looking at how your body responds to blood sugar is one thing in terms of the certain foods, but also playing with what's called your macros. So figuring out how many grams of carbohydrates you're eating on a baseline. And then typically I'll have folks look at their blood sugar and then also watch weight, because your weight will flux based on the amount of carbohydrates you've consumed. You will go up a little bit in weight if you're over consuming. So that's one thing to do. I typically do find, though, I'll be honest, most females in my practice who are not physically active on a regular basis, and I mean maybe going to the gym once or twice a week and have desk jobs, I typically try to keep the carbohydrates around 100 grams a day. For folks that are a little bit more active, who are going to the gym about 3 times a week and do have more of a physically active job where they're up and moving around, I'll go to around 125, 150 grams. Those who are doing CrossFit, you might be in the 100 grams department. You might be more like 150 up to 200. Marathon runners, folks who are doing more long sustained workouts, you might need a little bit more. So that's where I typically will have you play with it. Or if you want, really important, go consider checking out a nutritionist and someone who's specific with working with sports medicine. So there you have it. So now let's get back into this tissue issue stuff. What is happening? So this wrinkling, this dryness, this looseness, and this is typically what we'll see on the face. The neck will start to sag, the jowls will start to sag a little bit, and the skin won't maintain its moisture. This is happening inside your joints. It's happening around your joints. It's happening around your tendons. And we've got concrete data on ladies at age 35. This really starts to take hold. And in particular, something called type 4 collagen really starts to degrade in us. And so anybody who is over 35 take note, your blood sugar makes a huge difference in how well you look, how well you move, if you're having chronic pain and issues of that nature. Those of you who are not quite 35 yet, start prepping for it. Get your sugar addictions in control, in check. Really, really pay attention to what you're doing and start to reteach yourself how to eat. And I will talk about reteaching yourself how to eat in a minute because that is something I'm currently working with on myself. And I want to do a little report back on that here in a podcast soon. All right. So obviously sun exposure can accelerate our skin aging, but the glucose driven intrinsic aging, this is a big deal. And it's really like putting our aging on blast. Like it's going super fast. In this case. And so remember the AGEs, glycation, that's the fancy term. Now, if you're wondering, do I have any processes of glycation happening currently in my body? Well, look to see, do you have age spots on your skin? And I'm not talking just about your face. Are you starting to notice more of those age spots happening even on your general arms, legs, body, abdomen? Fine lines and wrinkles, hyperpigmentation, this is stuff that you're going to see on your face most commonly. Hardness of the skin. Dry skin, uneven tone. Do you notice that your skin's kind of sagging more? It's a big deal. And the more inflamed and ouchy your skin is post-workouts, this is another indication that you're not recovering well and you quite possibly have a lot of these glycation endpoints, so AGEs happening in your body. Now, another thing to think about here that, you know, sounds really gross is that we are also contributing to glycation by how we cook our food, and in particular, meat. So you know how you have your ground beef or your steak, and when you cook it, you know it's going to turn brown. That browning reaction with the high heat and meat actually is what's happening slowly in your body. So we know that when we cook ground turkey or ground beef, it browns up and it becomes a little bit hardened, right, and brittle. That's what's happening inside your body. I know it's kind of gross. It's sad, really. But that type of cooking, if you are a high heat, crank your food up to, you know, 6, that's the highest my stove goes. But if you cook it, you know, in high heat and you're just cranking stuff up to cook as fast as possible because you're lacking on time, but you need to eat something, you're not helping yourself at all there. It's almost as bad as eating a bunch of sugar. So I have a lot of folks who have hardened tissue that doesn't move well and they're on low carb or ketogenic diets. So then I've got to ask, how are you cooking your food? And a lot of times they're like, oh, I love to grill my food and I do this and, you know, I do that. I like stir fries, super high heat. Yeah, what's happening is you're making your collagen fibers lose their elasticity. They're becoming more rigid. They're just prone to breakage. They're just super hard. It's not good. And so that's why the slow and low crock pot style cooking, so the slow food revolution, is huge. I know a lot of us are in the world where we need to make things fast, but honestly, if you time it out a little bit, you plan a little bit, you can make crockpot meals, no problem. I do it all the time. Yes, I'm super busy. It's hard for me to find time to cook, but I manage just with a little planning. So sit down on the weekend, plan some things out, set your crock pots to go when you go to work, and boom, dinner's done. You don't have to try to heat up stuff so high. So big deal here. And one of the other things that I really want folks to think about in this case is that not only does our tissue on our face or on our joints become brittle and have difficulty functioning. I mean, you're going all the way down into your gut tissue here too. You have a lot of collagen. You have collagen on all your tissue. Collagen is what keeps your skin plump and it has elastin in it. And so it's what, if you take the back of your hand and you pinch your back your hand up and then you let go, that's the recoil. That's your collagen. The better you can pinch the back of your hand and that skin recoils, the better you're doing in terms of keeping your collagen levels healthy and mobile. Now, another biggie here that I always get asked by folks, because I do talk about collagen protein and helping with the gut and the skin, and then there's, of course, the collagen protein revolution going along with adding it to your bulletproof coffee. So this is collagen protein in addition to MCT oil, so coconut oil and coffee in the morning instead of a traditional breakfast. And I think that's great. I like that the collagen, you know, is starting to come into popularity for folks. I think it can help, but if you don't change your diet beyond that, we're going to have some serious issues. And I'm also telling folks that have affinity towards the ketosis diets, it's how you cook your food. Slow and low. Cook your food slow and low if you're doing the ketosis style diets, because it may work for you. It's going to get your blood sugar down, but if you're cooking your meat too high of heat, you're not doing yourself any favors. You're still going to be contributing to mobility issues and pain and tendonitis and brittle skin. You don't want that. Not good stuff. So keep that in mind. So let's talk a little bit more about skin structure, because I'm a geek, as we all know, and I like to geek out on details. And in this case, we want to think about your skin in terms of epidermis and dermis. So the epidermis is what you see. That's your first most superficial layer. You've got five layers to that, actually. And from the bottom layer, the basement membrane layer of your epidermis, you're pushing out new cells all the time. And so the cells that you see on the surface that you can scratch your skin, those are dead. You can flake those guys off, which that's kind of a protective mechanism for us. But we need to be able to have that healthy and have that help us keep moisture in. And if we're not well hydrated, we're eating too much sugar, that's one problem. But the other problem lies in the dermis. So epidermis is what you see. Below the epidermis's five layers, we have the dermis. And this is where you have your collagen fibers, your elastin, all of the stuff that helps to keep your tissue moving nice and fluidly. It also has a ton of something called hyaluronic acid. Hyaluronic acid is an amazing component. It belongs to a sugar-like compound. They're called glycosaminoglycans. But hyaluronic acid is amazing because it can hold a lot of water weight. It can hold, I believe, let's see, my data here is 1,000 times its own weight. And so what it does is it helps lock in moisture into your skin. And it really does help to bind the water in the skin to help keep your collagen moving and help maintain your skin's elasticity and fluid. If you are not able to keep water in your skin, which happens as you age because you don't have as much hyaluronic acid, you don't have as much collagen, now you lose water easily. And this is why older folks have trouble maintaining their temperature, because they can sweat very easily and they don't have that layer of collagen to protect them and the hydration there to protect the fluid balance in their body. Now, this is something to keep in mind as you get older, is really if we can maintain the amount of fluid in our body and keep the fluid balance going, our muscles, our fascial tissue, so our wrapping or tendons can move a lot better if we maintain the fluid. Now, you can supplement with hyaluronic acid. You can put it on topically. You can take it internally. Now, I typically have folks using topical hyaluronic acid. And the way they do it is something through collagen induction therapy, otherwise known as microneedling. And so you can take 12 little needles with a machine. This is done in an esthetician's office or a dermatologist's office, depending on if the dermatology folks are into this. But what they do is they use the microneedling device and then they'll put hyaluronic acid over. And so what you're doing is needling the hyaluronic acid into the dermis, which is pretty cool. I've actually done that around areas of tenderness and chronic pain in and knees and shoulders and different areas that just seem not to resolve, and they're super brittle, and basically this tissue just feels crunchy and non-mobile. It feels crunchy, it's not elastic, I can't pick it up and it doesn't recoil. It just feels off. And I've done that for some folks with their knees and shoulders, like I mentioned before. I've also done that with folks of a combination of hyaluronic acid and platelet-rich plasma, which is their white blood cells. But in this case, these individuals have to be eating really well and taking care of themselves, because underlying all of tissue issues is the degradation of your skin. It sounds gross, but you're slowly becoming more brittle as you get older. And if you can work on not eating so much sugar and carbohydrates, and you can work on cooking your food slow and low, you can make a huge difference with being able to maintain your collagen and elastin over time. So I have mentioned that there's a couple different types of collagen. I'd mentioned type 4 in terms of females having that degrade as they get to age 35. There's also types 1, 2, and 3, of course. And types 1 and 3 in particular have to do with tensile strength and mobility in the dermis. And so these types 1 and 3 are the ones we really want to be working with when we're working with mobility in tissue. So if you're out there looking for a collagen supplement to help you with maintaining your elasticity, types 1 and 3 are what you're looking for your dermis. And when I say tensile strength, I'm also talking about the ability for folks to actually sprain and strain ligaments and tendons too. You're more prone to having tendon and ligament issues if you're not taking care of your tissue. So if you're eating too much sugar, you're more prone to tendon ligament issues. If you're eating too much meats on high heat, you're more prone to tissue issues. So keep that in mind. Now, you could also argue, if you're thinking about this, well, if you're eating more meat, you're going to have more inflammation in your body. Yes, absolutely, especially if you're eating more meat and not eating your vegetables because you're not countering it. And then if you're cooking it on high heat and really browning it to a crisp, that's a problem. So keep that in mind. Now, collagen type 4, this is your collagen it's kind of like the network collagen. It's working on keeping your epidermis and dermis, so your outer layer of skin and your second layer of skin, connected and having a good support system, so a good scaffolding or foundation. And so types 1 and 3, tendons, ligaments. Types 4, this is really looking at your scaffolding. And so if you're noticing your skin sagging, your jaws are drooping, your neck's drooping, you're wanting a little bit more of the collagen type 4 to focus on if you're not having issues per se with your tendons and ligaments. I'll be honest with you, I'm breaking it down a little bit more specifics. I think we need all of it. So keep that in mind. All right, so I've kind of talked about all of the different ways we can mess up our tissues, and we end up with tight skin. We end up with reduced mobility, tendonitis, and even cellulite in this case. Now, fascial tissue won't cause, you know, restrictions in fascial tissue won't cause cellulite. What causes cellulite is overstorage of food. So overeating, or your body's ability to overabsorb your food but underutilize it. That's a big common issue for a lot of people, that a lot of us end up with cellulite because our body isn't effectively able to use our food because we're not breaking it down properly. Something to keep in mind. Another big thing, of course, Frankenfood, junk food, the more toxic foods and drinks that you drink, alcohol, etc., the more you're going to be prone to cellulite. The other big thing here too is trouble with too much carbohydrates. The body's going to go on storage mode. If you eat too much carbs, you're going to store those carbs as fat. It's pure what happens, unfortunately. And if you're doing juicing a lot and you're eating rice cakes and you're doing dark chocolate on top of it, you got to watch your carb amount. So keep that in mind. It's really important to find that right balance of carb amount for you. Also, in terms of just general cellulite issues, a lot of the times it's because you're not moving and detoxifying the tissue of the thighs, say, or upper arms or wherever you have the cellulite. It means you also have to work on your lymphatics. And so that's detox of your tissues, which also is a big thing as we get older. So keeping active, moving, walking, but also working on at least 6 to 8 cups of veggies a day. And I'm saying veggies, not fruits, veggies. It helps to clear the lymphatic system. And that lymphatic system, I have a podcast all about it. Check it out. I talk more about how to clear it. There's different herbs and things of that nature. There's different topicals you can put on your skin to help with detoxification. So keep that in mind. All right, so what else? Of course, we have to protect our skin, because the more that we're exposed to sunlight and we're not putting on sunblock, not a good thing. Zinc oxide is one of my favorite things to help to protect the skin. Read your sunblocks. You don't want parabens, things of that nature. Read. Alba Organics is a great brand. Jason, Jason, with the two little dots, the umlaut over the O. It's a great brand too. Just really read your labels. Zinc oxide is what you want for maximum protection. And don't just put it on your face, put it all over your body, especially areas like knees and shoulders, areas where you have restricted motion. Hands. Ladies always forget about their hands. Hands are the one of the most restricted areas as we get older. And guys too. I don't know why I'm all about the ladies today, but guys too. And because of all of our tech stuff we do and typing and all of that, put sunblock on your hands. Make sure that they can stay healthy, because this isn't just an internal issue, it's an external issue in terms of what's happening with sunlight in this case. Now, I am a huge proponent of weightlifting, of course, I've talked about it before, but it helps your body to consume more glucose. The more muscles you have, you need more sugar in the body. And I don't mean sugar like candy sugar, I'm talking about just carbohydrates in general glucose. And so lifting weights will help you in the long run to be able to utilize glucose more effectively, so it doesn't end up hardening your arteries and making your skin and tendons and ligaments brittle and reducing your mobility. Alcohol intake. Alcohol enhances the glycation process. Just try to limit alcohol as much as possible. I typically tell folks 1 to 2 drinks a week probably is better, or none for that matter. Keep in check. So antioxidants, that's like I said before, it's huge to get in your antioxidants. And the best way to get in your antioxidants is to try to get in 6 to 8 cups of veggies a day, or take an antioxidant based supplement. I mean, there are tons of them out there, but really you're looking at your vitamins A, your vitamin C, your vitamin E, things that are rich in those. Dark chocolate is, but unfortunately dark chocolate's usually loaded with a lot of sugar, so it doesn't taste so bitter. There are some good companies out there, but I'm talking cocoa powder here, so high-end cocoa powder. Green tea is a lot of antioxidants. You can Google antioxidants till the cows come home. So I do recommend daily antioxidants. Now, I do also recommend B vitamin supplements, and in particular, Twice Daily Multi is my favorite multivitamin by Designs for Health. They're not paying me to say this, but it's because their B vitamin content in that supplement is higher, and I like it. If you're looking for just a general B vitamin, Jarrow, or Yarrow as people call it, J-A-R-R-O-W, it's B right, so the letter B and then right. That's my other favorite, just general B vitamin that you can get anywhere pretty much. And that's helpful because the B vitamins help with production of a lot of energy in the body, but also they're working B1 and B6 help to inhibit the glycation. So that's something to keep in mind. So keep that on your radar. Like I said before, go with cooking low and slow. Consider, you know, if you're going to grill, okay, maybe here and there, but not every single day. And I'd say maybe once or twice a month, and eat a ton of vegetables with it. Eating anti-inflammatory diets, kind of the big thing now. A lot of people talk about eating clean and the autoimmune paleo type of diet. Let's just put it this way. If you eat closest to nature, you're going to do yourself a lot of good. So getting rid of the processed foods, getting rid of the junk in the diet, and portion control. Portion control is a big issue. probably one of the most important things, not overloading the system with a ton of food at any given time, breaking out the meals, and really just taking your time to enjoy your food and going slow with it. All right, so let's do a little bit of review of what I've talked about today. We're talking about glycation, and in particular, advanced glycation end products, AGEs, something that contributes to AGE. So, haha, I'm funny. Not really. You guys can... I'm a nerd. Okay, moving on. So AGEs help you to age. And when they bind with sugars, they react. I mean, these guys are formed. They don't bind with sugars. They're formed when sugars are reacting with proteins, and in particular, collagen. So think of sugars binding to your collagen and literally making them brittle. They cause collagen to break down. They cause the wrinkling. They cause the sagging skin. They cause hard joints and hardening of tissue. It just feels hard and brittle and crunchy, and that reduces mobility and it increases pain in the body. Huge, huge component here in terms of chronic pain, in terms of toxicity in the body and reduced mobility. So something to keep in mind. What you want to do, you want to get some antioxidants in. Like I said before, 6 to 8 cups of veggies a day. You're targeting things that are high in vitamins A, C, E. That's what you want. You want those antioxidants. And hyaluronic acid is a really good component here that you can put on topically. Collagen you can take internally to help you to work on that. But none of that is going to work. You can spend hundreds of dollars in hyaluronic acid and do a whole bunch of collagen, but none of it's going to work if you keep eating too much sugar and you keep charring your food. That's a big component. Ladies, gentlemen, think about that. That is the main component of today's podcast, is how your diet is impacting your skin mobility and your skin health with time. And it affects tendons, it affects joints. Anyone who is overeating carbohydrates and eating a ton of grilled food, not a good thing. And it could be independent. One, it could be too many carbs, or you could be too many grilled items in the case of more of a high protein ketogenic type of diet. And since that is all the rage right now, it's something that I want folks to keep in mind. So work on cooking low and slow in the crock pot, cut down on your sugar addictions, increase your antioxidants, and you will notice change in your skin, in addition to working on different mobility exercises and working on getting some muscles going. And I'm not talking that you have to do CrossFit, just lifting a little bit, something to strengthen those muscles, increase your mobility so that you can be superhuman until you're 105, like me. At least like I hope to be. All right, everybody. So this podcast is going to take another turn into one more on fascia. And my next one is all about fascial tissue and mood in relation to sunlight and warmth. So stay tuned for my next podcast. I'd love to hear from you guys. Send me some comments on my website, drjkrausnd.com. And I look forward to chatting with you on my next podcast. Have a great day, whatever you're doing.
Thanks for tuning into The Health Fix, the podcast all about taking control of your health, rebelling against aging, and having fun every day. A lot of patients ask me, do you think I'm aging too fast? So, I created an evaluation checklist for you to see for yourself. Plus, I created a resource guide to help you slow down the aging process right now. You can find it for free on my website, drjkrausnd.com. If you like this podcast, help get the word out to others by liking it and rating it. If you'd like more natural health tips and want to join our Facebook community where I interact daily, click on the join group button on our website at drjkrausnd.com.